When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere.
What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Chirp, and I am here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
What's going on, Caps fans?
Caps fans, we've got a great episode for you today, as always, our Monday episode. Full disclosure, this is before the Seattle game, because we just don't have it in us to be watching that shit so late. We will watch it, but after recording has concluded, because it's a 10:30 start time. If you're new to this, of course, we'll be talking about league news, suspensions, injuries, things like that. And of course, the Washington Capitals, your very own. If you're an OG, love you mean it.
Love you mean it.
So, Polly, I think that after that, we should just kind of... I'm thirsty.
Yeah, man, me too. Let's get it.
One, two, three.
All right. So, just at the tip of the show, when I'd like to just kind of... You know, I still have it in the sense of, like, the whole internet trolling thing going, which is the I guess, inspiration for my name. you know, Hockey Troll. Pretty straightforward there. Well, I was shitting on Penguins fans. It's my favorite target. And this was after they'd lost to, I believe it was Buffalo. And they had just, you know, we had just kicked their ass. Buffalo beat them. And, you know, I was just like, you know, the end is near. Like, fuck the Penguins. You were gifted everything. Your cups are a lie. Just random shit. And I get into it with a couple people, and one guy just keeps, I don't even know what he was saying, but he was talking about how I was dust and how was, he could dangle me on the ice, and I was like, doubt it, but okay. And then this other guy, though, he says something that just blows my mind. He's like, because it's always like, as soon as I start talking shit, you know, of course, they look at my bio. And they're like, they attack the podcast without ever listening to it, which is fine. Like, I would do the same thing, probably. But he leaves it. So he says, real professional way to build your brand. I can't believe you're doing that. And blah, blah, blah. And then he blocks me and deletes tweets. And it's like, build the Hockey Troll brand, in which you're literally like, I mean, my handle is Hockey Troll, my display name is Hockey Troll, my handle is actually Hockey Troll in with an I in, but it's pretty on the nose. So I'm building what brand?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was I guess he was saying you're being real professional building Caps Chirp this way, but you know, you are building. And that's exactly what you were doing, is you were being a Hockey Troll.
Right. And on the podcast called Caps Chirp. It's not like Caps, we'll be nice to you no matter what shitty team you support.
Exactly. I mean, like, Caps Chirp is just like an extension of the Hockey Troll brand. Like, Hockey Troll is a subsidiary of Caps Chirp. I mean, like, the whole thing is based around giving people shit if you don't if you're not Caps. And yeah, I mean, I just remember, you know, you sent me that Snapchat. You were like, "Man, I'm killing it." And so I checked it out, and the one dude who was talking about dangling you, that was weird. That was real weird.
He just, you know, Daddy didn't hug him enough. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was like he was like a Letter Kenny wannabe kind of guy.
Yeah.
And the other dude who blocked you, you could tell that you really flustered him, because he just. I will give him credit. Yeah. When he put out that tweet that said, "How many listens will your podcast get? Zero or none?" The voting options, that was pretty clever.
Dude, he did that in response to me putting out a poll that said, "How many L's is the whatever the dude's handle gonna take tonight?" Because I kept
you're right.
So I did that, and then he just responded with like a poll. I mean, like shooting fish in a barrel, these Penguins fans. They're dumber than fucking rocks. I mean, it's just so easy to get them mad and just work themselves into a fluster there, I'd say.
It really is, and I did forget that, so I retract that. That was your idea, and that was your clever move. You know, if there were winners and losers here, you clearly won.
Thank you. If there were winners and losers on the internet battlefield...
Yeah. Sadly, there are no winners.
No. Which is what you have to... I mean, you have to know that going in, and it makes you literally unbeatable.
Yeah. Nothing to lose.
Right. Nothing to win either. I just do it because I like to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Anyways, fuck the Penguins and their fans. But I think we should get into some league news. We got Kendall Coyne Schofield, book out, As Fast as Her. Tell us about it, Paulie.
Yeah, so, you know, it's talking about her journey through her career. And obviously her experience with the All-Star Game where she competed in the Fastest Skater. I'm sure that'll be a big part of it. I'm sure a big part of it will be her 2018 Olympic gold medal, along with her, I think, 6 World Championship golds. And a 2014 Olympic silver, and another silver at Worlds. And then, you know, at that competition, she finished better than Clayton Keller. Her who time won. Was 14.
Who won, correct? Clayton Keller was the winner.
No. Connor McDavid was the winner that year.
Oh, okay.
But so she finished better than Clayton Keller, and her time had beaten 3 times from the previous year. So she was very much in the mix with the fastest skaters in the best league in the world, you know, showing that she is on their level, absolutely. And, you know, you can get her book, and I'm sure there'll be more in there than just her pro and USA career. I'm sure it'll be stuff growing up and stuff. And, you know, I'm probably going to be buying that, because it's going to be a good read, I'm sure.
You're going to have to next season or the season after, you're going to have to fill us in on how it was after you finish it.
Yeah. It takes me about 2 years to read a book, but, you know, she's only 29 already. I mean, she's wearing the C for Team USA. She's theoretically, she's got 11 more years of professional hockey if she so chooses.
Yeah, and she's doing – she's dipped her toes into the broadcasting. I mean
– yeah.
She's doing it all. And, you know, all these – she's just like any other professional athlete who stays busy, right?
Yeah, and she's currently the youth hockey growth specialist for the Chicago Blackhawks. So she is growing the game, playing the game, and she has called games. – You know, really, the only thing she hasn't done is be a referee, and I'm sure that I wouldn't be surprised if she does that sometime as well.
Yeah, and I mean, and this all on top of being a mom. I'm pretty sure she has kids too, right?
I'm not totally sure. I know she's a wife. Her husband. They're both professional athletes. So, you know, that household has a Super Bowl champion and an Olympic gold medalist. No pressure.
Right. Yeah. Just don't have kids. I don't know if they could live up to it, man.
Yeah, it really, it's kind of putting them in a bad position.
Yeah. But interesting. I mean, I hope it's a good book. We'll have to check it out for sure. And if you're looking for it, it's out. It's called As Fast as Her. So check it out if you want, Caps fans.
Yeah, and just one more thing on that. One of the few good things that the Blackhawks have done in recent history, hiring her.
Fair enough. The Senators had 3 games postponed as 10 players were in the COVID-19 protocol. You know, I wonder at what point does the league just say, like, yo, you fucked up, like, take the forfeit? I'm sure that they're trying to be as fair as possible because it seems to be quite out of the control of the league. But, you know, and having 3 postponed is obviously much better than having it any canceled or decided by non-play. But, I mean, Paulie, what do you think? It would fuck everything up large if all of the teams don't play the same amount of games by the end of the year, don't you think?
Yeah, it would. I mean, I think that you either have to make them up or give a forfeit. I mean, you have to have – I think you have to keep the integrity of the point system the consistency.
Right.
I know one game has – I think it's against New Jersey – has been rescheduled for December 6th. I did see one of them is rescheduled. And they're back on the ice, I believe, for practice now. Yeah. At least the guys who weren't in protocol. So they'll be back soon. But I think they either have to make them up or hand out forfeits, because just adjusting points and percentages and stuff just isn't – it's not a good idea.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fair either when it looks like the majority of the league is going to be able to come in and play all 82 games. So
yeah, and I think another thing, you know, with COVID, people who are vaccinated are still getting it. So, you know, there's really no 100% certainty of not catching it. And so it could be, you know, a freak accident that someone got it and then it spread like wildfire through the a locker room. It could have been that they were irresponsible, or it could have been uncontrollable. So right. Once you start handing out forfeits, then you have set a precedent, and now you could get yourself in some murky water.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they should have to forfeit games right now. I'm just wondering if the case gets bad or particularly bad with one team, what happens? You know, all of this is being done out of abundance of caution. I haven't heard, you know, I've heard that for the most part, like, nobody, like last year, was bedridden, like, closest to death they've ever been. I mean, things like that are the stories that you were hearing last year from our players. It was not, now it's more like, yeah, I had a pretty bad cold for a couple days, which is good because, you know, they're vaccinated and they're obviously equipped to fight it, but that doesn't mean that they can't spread it, which is why there's a huge, you know, lockdown situation, which I also agree with. You know, I mean, why would you want to expose people who wouldn't be, you know, in this shit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think if they ever get to a point where they have to start making decisions, it'd almost be better off to just, like, bring up their entire AHL roster and have them play until the NHL team is cleared, rather than handing out forfeits.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing, like, maybe give them a break on, like, who has to clear, like, for these X amount of games, like, you can just play a ton of minor leaguers and then send them back down without being victim to the waiver wire or anything like that. You know what I mean? With that, and cap considerations, things like that are out the door. Or, I mean, it's a big ball of fucking wax, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would be more happy to see that, like, some leeway given on the rules of cap, the cap constraint rules, which is probably why they, because with 10 players, you can't bring that many up without subjecting, you know, some of your promising prospects to the waiver wire, from what I understand. or sacrificing entry level year, you know, entry like their first year as a pro or in the league or whatever, ELC contracts, shit like that. I'm sure there's a lot of things that are floated around with myriad of players, but anyways, Jared Bednar has signed a 2-year extension with the Avalanche. He's in his sixth season in Denver. You like this guy, Paulie? You like this Jared Bednar, kind of strikingly mysterious figure behind the bench?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's handsome.
Get those baby blues, deep baby blues. Yeah,
what a piece of eye candy when you're watching the game.
That tuft of hair that just kind of like falls down. You know, he's like as close to like an anime character that you could probably get in real life.
Yeah. you know, I like him. I think he took over from Patrick Waugh, who had a very disappointing time with the Avalanche, which was a shame because it was really exciting to have Patrick Waugh behind the bench and Joe Sakic in the office, but you know, they weren't really good at the beginning of McKinnon's career under Patrick Waugh, and Jared Bednar has steadily grown this team, and you know, they were a team missing the playoffs when Duchesne was there, and now, you know, they finally made the playoffs again, and then they made it to the second round, and then they were a really blown offside call away from the semifinals, and you know, last year President's Trophy. So he has taken them very far in the last 6 years, and I think it's a good idea to keep him around. And I didn't see what he's being paid, but he definitely deserves to keep his job, and I think it's a bright future for the Avalanche having him there.
That's cool. I didn't realize he took over directly for Waugh. I thought there was a coach in between, but I'll never forget Patrick Waugh and Bruce Boudreau almost fighting. That would have been probably a one-sided beatdown. But I feel like Boudreau would have taken a pound of flesh. I mean, I feel like he'd gotten his ass kicked, but I feel like he's the type of guy that would just like bite you in the nuts or something.
Well, he's probably like one of those bulldogs that can just eat punches.
Right, Gabby. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously Patrick Waugh's like well over 6 foot and pretty stout himself, but I feel like he'd probably be missing a chunk of flesh after that scrap. What a shit show. Just thinking about that replay, I remember like the partition, they were like pushing it back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay, the New York Islanders played their first game in the new arena on Saturday, the 20th. They lost 5-2 to Calgary. But this was their first home game of the season, and I remember watching a Caps game, and Joby and Locker were like, "Have the Islanders even played a home game yet?" And Locker's like, no, they haven't. And I thought they were joking. I thought they were being, like, sarcastic. But turns out, yeah, the Islanders have been waiting for their UBS or whatever arena to be open, and it is now open, and they just opened, they christened it with a 5-2L to Calgary, which, you know, typical Islander style hockey there. But good for them, you know. I think that they're probably feeling pretty good about that. I you know, this is a team that moved from Nassau to Barclays, and then all of the Long Island folks lost their entire shit over having to drive to Brooklyn, which was like a 6-hour round trip. And now they're back into Long Island, I'm guessing. Is that where UBS is? It's in Long Island, right?
Yeah, it's on Long Island in Manhattan.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's in Manhattan?
I believe so, yeah.
Interesting. So I guess that reduces the drive by an hour, and all the shitbag Long Islanders are just pumped about it, right?
Oh, they've got to be. I mean, I mean, can you imagine if the, you know, the Caps moved their arena to Virginia Beach?
Yeah, that would suck. Okay, wait a minute, No. This arena is it's past Queens. It's on Long Island, right? It's on the island. But it's like in between Queens and like going even more east into like Huntington, Farmingdale. Like it's I guess you would consider that Elmont. Interesting. They call it Hempstead. All right. Well.
Okay. Yeah. My bad. It is Elmont. I guess I saw some headline. It said something about Manhattan, and I must have misread something. But yeah, Elmont, New York. So it's it looks like it's southeast of Queens, right?
Yeah. Yep. on the map, it's basically smack dab in the middle of the island, just out of like the Queens kind of territory. So, you know, good for you, Islanders fans. Finally have another home arena. I can see going through Queens and into like the western tip of Brooklyn being an absolute nightmare, though, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, having to go travel on the island, you know, through the island, yeah, and then through two different boroughs, that's brutal.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just not live in New York.
Yeah, I actually met a guy 2 months ago, grew up on Long Island, but he grew up a Rangers fan because growing up, he'd get blacked out, so he didn't get to watch the Islanders. The Rangers were on TV, and so he became a Rangers fan just because that's who was on.
Interesting.
So the Islanders just keep giving themselves disadvantages, I guess.
Right. All right, moving on. New Jersey hosted the 11th USA Hockey Sled Classic this past weekend. 31 teams affiliated with an NHL team across five divisions. I don't know. I mean, figure this is an amateur tournament, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I need to correct what I put in the outline. It looks very much like it's an amateur tournament because I saw something that said USA Hockey in association with, and there was an amateur organization. So,
well, there's no pro sled hockey circuit, is there?
Well, yeah, I just meant like I don't think like Olympians are in this tournament.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I guess maybe next year there'll be 32 teams now that Seattle is active, but they, so basically what it is you have to, like, get approval from the team to represent them. I'm sure they have teams to choose from, but in order to play, you have to play for the team closest to your, you know, your location. So I guess if you lived in the middle of Pennsylvania, you'd have to map it out and see if you're a Flyer or a Penguin. But
oh, it's like Mighty Ducks. Like, he's part of District 12.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely – it's very geographical based. And, you know, the pictures that they posted, the jerseys look – I mean, they probably get, like, authentic jerseys. And it looks like they're playing in the NHL with those sweaters they had on.
That's tight.
The winners were the Blackhawks took Tier 1, the Penguins took Tier 2, Blue Jackets took Tier 3, the Golden Knights won Tier 4, and the Islanders won Tier 5. So, was that a 4 out of 5? No, the Blackhawks are in the West. So, I guess as evenly split as it could be, 3 and 2 between the conferences.
Yeah. but as far as the NHL goes, I mean, that's three metro teams. Not that that matters too much, but, you know, goddamn the Penguins, man. Like, I hate to see them high anywhere.
Yeah.
I hate to see them win anything. But hey, you know what? This sounds like a really great thing. I really hope that the NHL's done their part to partner with this. We don't really have all the details on that, but... For the Paralympic and the you know, I guess, would you call it disabled community?
I'm not sure if there's a different term, but yeah. I mean, yeah. That's...
So, I mean, that's awesome. It sounds like a lot of fun, too. I bet that was a... I bet there was many beers a drink during that...
Oh, yeah.
During that tourney, dude.
I like, did find,
Go ahead.
Oh, I found an interesting tidbit in the eligibility. Uh-huh. Actually, each team is allowed 3 able-bodied players.
What? Be on the sled, though?
Yeah, I imagine that they play on the sled. The only restriction is they can't play goalie.
Interesting. I wonder why that's a rule.
Yeah, I don't know. But I doubt that that's the rule for, like, international play.
Yeah, and maybe it was like they had local celebrities or something come in. You know, like local people of influence play or something. I don't know.
I mean, weird. It could be to fill out the roster. I mean, maybe when you get to a certain level of competition,
need,
yeah, just getting a few people with more hockey experience instead of, you know, to kind of make up for the smaller pool to pick from.
Right. I mean, you're looking at like, I mean, if it's 31 teams, you're looking at 150 players, right?
Well, I think it was 600 participants.
Holy shit. Well, that's probably why if you need like 2 full lines. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so if you look at 2 full lines, I was just saying like at the bare minimum to field a 6-man team, you're looking at over 150 people that you need to actually play and be good.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they allow a 20-man roster, there's your 600 right there.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I would venture to say there's probably not 600 in the country that could play, or at least had the means to come and play in this tournament, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of variables, and that, I think, kind of fills in the gap why they have the 3 able-bodied people allowed to participate.
Right.
But either way, yeah, like you said, this is a great tournament, and it's another good way to showcase the game. I think this definitely falls along the lines of hockey is for everyone, you know, showing that you know, just because you're not 100% able-bodied, you can still play the game, and there's a place for you to play the game, and we want you to play. You know, that's USA Hockey's message.
Right.
If you want to play, we want you. So I think having stuff like this is really, really great.
No doubt. So good stuff there. And then our last bit of kind of like hockey league news is former captain of the Ohio State University women's hockey team, Olivia Soares, is in her first year of coaching the D3 Colby College. I'm not sure. Is that a head coach position, Polly?
No. So she's an assistant this season. But, you know, this is building on a story we talked about a couple weeks ago. She's another black woman coaching NCAA hockey. And William Douglas did a nice write-up in the Color of Hockey section, NHL.com, if you want to hear more about that. But, you know, another high-level player of a person of color giving back to the game and helping break down barriers.
Awesome. Good stuff. So our injuries, Drew Doughty skated with the Kings Friday. First time since October 22nd, taking a knee-to-knee against Dallas. No timetable on his return, but he is skating. Max Comatoy out 6 weeks to a hand surgery. On the 18th, he had a small bone removed from his hand. That's got to suck.
Yeah.
Darnell Nurse out 2 to 3 weeks with a broken finger, shot block there. That's got to hurt. It's got to hurt Edmonton, who's already kind of, you know, they're in good standing right now, but you know, I feel like that's a bubble that could burst any time, no matter how many goals Draisaitl scores and how many points Connor McDavid has. Two people cannot win a Stanley Cup. Braden Point is out indefinitely with an upper body injury. He sustained it during the 5-3 loss to New Jersey on Saturday, crashing the boards for being tripped by Ryan Graves while on a breakaway. at 10:06 in the third period. Brutal.
Yeah, I would guess a collarbone.
Yeah, and that's what? 2 months? Easy?
Yeah, easy.
Easy? Yeah, collarbones are the worst.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to feel that no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. And our final suspension injury slash suspension, or is it LeBlanc or LeBlanc? You know, whatever. Suspended one game for slew-footing Tyler Bozak. This one, you know, I saw this, and it almost looks like LeBlanc kind of just loses his footing and takes him down with him, which he shouldn't do, but they were pretty close. I mean, it was... I don't know. Polly, did you watch the replay?
Yeah, I think it looked pretty blatant.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the replay, and I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Right, I mean, this is absolutely something that I would do. Like, I'm going down.
But, you know, I think
you're coming with me.
Yeah, I think we've established on this podcast that almost everything that people get suspended for, Hockey Troll does.
What?
Or would do.
Would do. I don't do them. You act like I'm out here. You act like I'm out here. Literally, like, oh yeah, I'm all in on just out to hurt someone. It's not true.
Only if the occasion calls for it.
Yeah, exactly. I have some fucking self control.
Some is in italics there.
I don't know. You would do it too, dude. Shut the fuck up. I don't even want to hear it. You're going into the boards that hard, full speed, and you start to lose an edge. You're definitely taking this dude down with you.
Yeah, I can tell you though, I would definitely rather be slew-footed in this situation than like the guy's falling and he pushes you head first into the boards. Like,
yeah,
it could have been worse.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, on accident or not, you're taking somebody out. Probably on accident for you.
Yeah, you know, me and my amazing skating abilities.
I mean, I wouldn't just say that. It's just that you're, you know, you're a force out there, bud.
Yeah, I'm a bowling ball on skates, pretty much.
Yeah, there we go. Both.
You know what else is a force?
What?
This deal from DraftKings.
Yeah. So the NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes in their first deposit. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Nice assist there, Pauly.
Thanks, man. You know, I love tossing out apples.
Yeah, I'm just like a little Shetland, just eating them all up. All right, let's talk about the Caps, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, Caps fans, look, I mean, it has been an amazing week. So if you're a Washington Capitals fan, you're probably riding high, loving life, as you should be. Look, I mean, we're omitting the Seattle game, which may end disaster after tonight, but the way the Caps are playing, I think that smart money is on the Washington Capitals to win. They'll be going up against Philip Grubauer, who has had a fucking stinker of a season. I know personally because I have him on my fantasy team, and he has fucked me every way from fucking Saturday, and it's not been fun. Because, and you know, I should have known this. I should have known this, because when he went to Colorado, when Groovy went to Colorado, I was like, you got to give him a pass, man. I mean, he's a starting goalie, first starting job. Give him a year, right? 1 year. You always give a goalie a year to adjust. I thought maybe Grubauer, because it's a new team, because it's new everything, he might be able to come in and hit stride real quick. Because, you know, he's their guy. He was their biggest free agent acquisition with all of the, like, embarrassment of riches that the expansion teams get. And, you know, it just goes to show that Vegas was so lucky during their expansion that McPhee must have just taken him into this room and it was basically like, there is the barrel. I can either chain you to it or tie you to it. Do you like shackles or rope? And I mean, that's really what happened, because you look at this and I mean, GMs were fucking panicking over this. It's so clear right now if you look back at, like, the expansion and how things went. Like, you know, this is probably a segment in its own, but I'll just say, like, I think that Seattle, with the availability they had and, like, in the COVID season, I mean, they had the worst start with COVID happening and we're still in it. You know, I think that what they really were looking for is something to build upon through the draft. So they understood, like, okay, we're not going to be Vegas right off the bat because, like, GMs aren't literally just, like, taking on, like, they're walking into the room and just, like, stripping naked, like, just take this, here's my Rolex, here's my phone, my wallet, my keys, Lambo's outside, right? They were instead like, fuck you, Seattle, like, what are you going to give me? I don't care. You know, there was not a lot of bluffing going on, and there was not a lot of, like, assets in which they thought they needed, at least, I guess, across the NHL. So there were literally no back channel deals. And you look at Seattle and you're just like, fuck. I mean, they said, what we're going to do is acquire draft picks, get guys who basically, I feel like Seattle for the first couple of years, their entire strategy is like a 5-year plan. They really want to, like, be transient, and they didn't take any high dollar people. They saved cap space. They didn't pay out the ass for anybody on free agency. They kept prospects. Basically, they kept guys who have a lot of potential in the league. And I think that what they want to do is flip them at the right time to bring in heavy hitters. But again, I don't know. I mean, I just went on a rant about Seattle. I mean, it's mostly my rant about hating Vegas, but what do you think?
Yeah, I saw a tweet. Someone tweeted, it's good to see an expansion team acting like an expansion team or something like that.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was, what, the first expansion draft in like 20 years. So these guys weren't ready for it. And the fact that another one was basically, I mean, within half a decade, everybody was still ready for it.
Right. Nobody forgot about the barrel room.
Yeah.
Nobody forgot about the barrel room when Seattle had to break in. So,
I mean, all the GMs went out, bought themselves an imp suit, and they were like, it's our turn.
Yeah, like all leather, the ball gag and everything. I mean, fuck me. All right, enough about Seattle. We got him tonight. Should be an ass kicking. We'll see. But on the 17th, we were in Anaheim. So this is the start of our West Coast trip. And, you know, spoiler alert, the Caps fucking killed it. The Anaheim Ducks were, you know, they're right now leading their division, I believe. They're on the tippy top. They're playing really well on the back of Troy Terry, who, me, genius GM in fantasy, picked this kid up early. I was like, Troy Terry, lighten it up. I'm going to grab him. Ill-advised, I trade 3 players to Pauly for fucking Tyler Bertuzzi, who hasn't done a goddamn thing. Like, at least go out and hit somebody, you fucking weird looking dude with long hair.
I got him at the right time. Or I got rid of him at the right time.
Okay, Pauly, shut the fuck up. I came to you with the trade. I was like, I'll give you these 3 studs because I have a plethora of incredible offensive talent. And you were like, I don't think that's a good trade. And I'm like, dude, I gave you Verhaeghe, Buchnevich, and Erickson Ek. So anybody who's playing fantasy out there, they know in this past week how bad it's looked for me. I think those guys combined scored like 8 points this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the only reason that I have a chance of winning this week.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Every success that you have is due to me. Just so you say, so you know.
Well, basically, what you're saying is you put yourself in the barrel room.
I did. I was freaking out. Well, because you know. So here's the thing. Efficiency is so key to me, right? Like, I need things to be efficient. And the way that I do well in fantasy, which I have yet to win a single fantasy league yet, but my strategy, which I've settled on, whether it be right or wrong, is all about usage. You want to be able, so like, you know, and now they've done a good job on Yahoo Fantasy. Shout out Yahoo, sponsor us. They've done a good job of saying like, well, how many players you have to play at the beginning of the week, and then they have a little counter of how many are out. First of all, you want to have more players than that are playing than your opponent, and you want to have like a nice healthy each day somebody's playing. You know, you have three to five players at least playing. And then on your Saturdays or the big days, you have like everyone, every spot. And then you might have to make only a couple decisions. I don't like to make a lot of decisions. I just want to make a couple decisions. Like, okay, well, you know, Marshan, he's always going to play. But like, you know, is this middling forward who's still a starter going to be playing like a team I suspect they're going to score a lot? If not, I'll bench him for somebody who's going to play a cupcake, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do the same thing. When you have to make that choice, you got to look at their matchup.
Right. But, I mean, ideally you would avoid – the way that I found to avoid that whole situation is – and, you know, I don't study the schedules. I should. That would probably be the first thing that you would do using this strategy, which I don't. I just wait until I'm like, why are all my players playing on one day? I need to, like, panic and trade away three players for one subpar one. That's what I did. And I was like, Tyler Bertuzzi, he seems like he's really breaking out this season. And it's great that he's on like a shitty Detroit team because he's going to be potting him in. You know, there's always that one player who's on a shitty team who's still making good stats. And I'm like, oh, that's a great find because everybody's going to count the rest of the team out. But you have that one guy. Whatever. You know what? Fuck it. Paulie, if you win this season and you have all three of those players on those rosters, you owe me dinner.
Oh, I think that's a stretch, but yeah, I might. You know, maybe I'll treat you just to, you know,
get out of the house.
Yeah. Well, just to circle back to Anaheim, they're actually so they're in third in the division, but they're only 3 points behind Edmonton. So, okay. They're very much better off than I think anyone would have expected. Let me pull.
Well, I believe at this point in the week they were like first. Like after beating us, they were in first. So it was an overtime loss for us Caps fans here. And you know, of course, we remain perfect in
consistency.
Yeah, consistency is key here. Getzlaf gets his 1,000th point. You know, Nick Jensen, though, dude, this snipe was incredible. But because it was an inch offsides. Well, this play, though, looked pretty egregiously offsides, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. And it actually, I think it would have been Johnson Fialbi's first goal. I think he got a piece.
Oh, really? We entered the zone. You know, a couple shots happened. And then, finally, Jensen snipes it in or gets it in somehow. We score. So it was, you know, a solid 30 seconds after the offsides happened, from what I remember.
Yeah, but once they went to the interview, I saw the first go, and I was like, yep, that's coming off the board.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was so – look, so we talked about this in preseason. You know, there's going to be a time where – so right anymore, possession of the puck – carrier is becoming more lax. So you can control the puck, go skates in first and then drag the puck over before your other teammates, and it's still considered onsides because you technically have possession of the puck. Now, possession is so insanely hard to judge because it's fucking hockey. No one ever truly possesses the puck. It's not like basketball or lacrosse or football where, like, the person's allowed to, like, hold the puck or hold the ball or in their, you know, close to them and have complete control. But, like, you know, possession was definitely not had with this. I mean, I think it was Sprong that brought it over. And he went skates in first and was, like, reaching for... So... it was a pretty easy call. Fuckboy Zegras ends it in overtime for the Caps. Like I said, we remain perfect. You know, I have no idea why I hate Trevor Zegras, but I don't like that kid's face.
Yeah, that was a snipe.
Well, I thought it was off a rebound, but I mean, he blew it past him. Did we give up a 2-on-1 on this one?
I think it, I don't recall exactly the VTech high.
I don't know. I fell asleep at literally every single one of the last 10 minutes of these games. I fell asleep every single one, to be completely honest. But check that out and let us know. I'm going to move on to LA. You got it.
Wilson had the other goal. Well, Garrett Pilon did score. Fevriari and Carlson, they assisted both goals.
And that's our top pairing right now.
Yeah.
You know, Carly, I will say, has been a bit quiet on the goal scoring side, but he's got to be racking up many assists. And him and Fabiari, I mean, Martin Fabiari, man. Dude, the kid's playing with fire. Let's just be honest. Well-deserved. We knew he was going to be... You know, at the end of last season, we knew that he was going to be a guy that was going to earn a spot or had already been basically insta-locked into a spot for this year's team. But I figured he'd be kind of like a young Carl Alsner, if you will. Shout out Carl. More of like a stay-at-home physical guy. No.
Yeah.
This dude wheels.
Yeah, I mean, he jumps up into the play a lot.
Yeah, and no doubt.
He makes it count.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, he's not afraid. I mean, he just plays with such poise. It seems like he's a guy, you know, when he plays, if you didn't know he was a rookie, you'd have no idea.
For sure. You know, and I just watched the replay. It was a slot snipe.
Oh, was it?
He beat VTech high glove.
Okay. I must be confused. It must have been another goal I was talking about. But, okay, brutal. Trevor Zegras, do well in the Olympics.
Yeah, if you don't do well in the Olympics, then just quit, because I don't care how well you do in the NHL if you don't do shit for USA.
Exactly. So this week has been kind of a... I mean, it's probably nice for the Caps, but also a little bit of a weird one. It was two back-to-backs. So it was the 17th and 18th. And then on the 18th, we went into LA. And then tonight, we are ending the West Coast trip against the Kraken. But last night, we played against San Jose.
Yeah, and they left Lars Eller in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's like peace. So... Eller has been, I don't even know, what's the COVID-19 protocol? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably not safe for him to travel, so he kind of had to be left, I'm sure. But going into LA, I'm going to say, Caps win 2-0, but it came down to, like, what, minutes left into the third. And... I'm going to be honest. This is like one of the most exciting and interesting games of the season so far, Pauly. What did you think?
Yeah. I mean, I liked it a lot. I thought even though the scoring took a while, it was a real good game, good back and forth game. I did really enjoy the chrome helmets.
You enjoyed them?
Yeah.
You have terrible taste. I hated them. I hate them. I don't like these shiny helmets, dude. At all.
Well, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I'm partial to it. You
Did
know?
You like the Vegas ones, though?
Honestly, not really, because I don't think they did a good job matching it up with the jersey. If they had done a better job on the jersey, it may have looked good. But I think the Kings did a much better job of meshing a shiny helmet with a jersey. The Knights could definitely take notes.
But in Notre Dame's defense, there is some like stupid school history about like the gold top, right? Like the Golden Dome.
Yeah, they use the paint from the Golden Dome of Main Hall. When they scrape it off and melt it down and turn it back into like fresh paint.
What? No, they don't.
Yeah,
they literally scrape off from their own school.
Yeah, when they scrape it to like repaint it, they save the scrapings. And it gets used on the helmets.
That's terrible.
That's very green friendly.
Okay, dude. I feel like that's a fairy tale. I feel like they don't do that. The contractors that are doing that are like, fuck that. They're just up there spraying away.
They probably also don't... You know, they repaint the football helmets every week, so it's probably like a portion of the recipe. It's probably not the entire.
Oh yeah. And does Rudy come by and, you know, bless the field, and, you know, when they come out on the field to like angels, does God send the angels down to, you know, put like angel dust everywhere?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
Okay, all right, that's ridiculous. Anyways, I could have lived my entire fucking life with that. Now I'm just mad. I could have lived my entire life without knowing that little tidbit of whatever you're calling fact. I call bullshit. I don't think that's true at all. That they scrape the paint off and put it into the player's helmet. It's just dumb as shit. God damn it, Paulie, why'd you tell me that?
Well, it's fine. You hate Earth.
It literally ruined my day. The rest of my night's fucked because of that. The LA Kings game, the RoboCop helmets, okay, whatever. That it's LA, fine. I thought it looked better than the Vegas ones, but I have such a deep hatred for Las Vegas or for the Vegas Knights that's fine. I figured it was just my bias. But you're confirming that it looked better. Sure. The only helmet that did look good in that style was Jonathan Quick's, because I think goalies get like a larger palette to work with, and they just have more style, man. Goalie style is on point, you know? But
yeah,
like I was saying, the game was just incredibly interesting and fun to watch. Like, I didn't care that there was no score. I actually liked it a lot. I thought it, because when you get into the third period at this point, everybody's playing with like, you know, such jam that they don't want to mess up and cause a goal on their own end, but they're also like loose enough to still be pushing. And I thought that this was like a perfect example of one of those games.
And absolutely. Go ahead. I think people underestimate like how exciting it can be when there isn't scoring happening, because it puts everything puts you on the edge of your seat, because the next play could be what breaks, you know, that nothing tie that they've been working so hard for to keep the score down.
Right, and it wasn't like that this game had no chances. You know, this is a goaltending matchup, this is a defensive matchup, but I mean, there was a lot of offensive opportunity on each side. I mean, Kempe, who's a little fucking rat, I didn't realize he was such a little bitch, and I probably say this every season, but God, that guy was such a shithead. Along with, you know, Kopitar, who's obviously a stud, I mean, that guy's a Hall of Famer. You know, but you knew that it wasn't going to be like a snipe from the slot that was going to end this. It was going to be a good hard shot in and then a garbage goal. And lo and behold, Hathaway right there. He was in the mix all night. This dude was just under – he was just in everybody's shit all night, and I loved it.
Yeah, man. He's really having a good couple weeks. It's really good to see that he's getting on the scoreboard so often. I think Quick played a really good game. I mean, he shut down Ovi multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had Ovi's number. And, you know, Hathaway, as you and Locker like to say, really bumping up the tertiary scoring.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, it's great to see that the Caps are getting some depth scoring in big, big moments there. I mean, we saw it in 2018 when we won the Cup. And, you know, unfortunately, he was a bit silent in these first two games. He was getting his chances, but look, they don't always drop. And Jonathan Quick, American guy, shout out USA, had a really good game. He looked like he was 25 years old again. I think there was really nothing that was going by him unless it was a secondary chance. And he was gobbling those up pretty easily. So the big thing for me was like, when is everybody going to fight? This was a physical and chippy game. And, you know, you go into LA and the Kings play that style. They're not known for their goal scoring. Not ever. I mean, throughout even their cup runs, their biggest question was, that's fine. They can play good defense. They can play physically and they have great goaltending. But, like, who's going to put in the goals? I mean, you have Dustin Brown and Anze Kopitar as, like, some of your top. And then they had Carter. They did have Carter. But really, like, as far as goal scorers go, LA has never been a high-scoring team. And I think this really kind of showed exactly their game. And the Caps played an amazing road game. I thought it was just straight-up grade-A hockey here. The cherry on top, though, is the Samsonov shutout.
Yeah, man, it'd be great if Vitek could snag a few of those.
I know, right? So, you know, I think that, he didn't face a lot of shots, under 30, but he still was there, and the Kings had chances, for sure. It goes into, to our next game here. Should we just keep moving, into San Jose? And this was another shutout. Right? The San Jose game? What was the score to that? It's escaping me right now.
One second. I'll pull it up. It was... it was 4-0.
Yeah. So, this is a back-to-back shutout for Samsonov, which you like to see. Are you... And before we get into the Sharks game, are you still VTech... Team VTech? Pauly?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the most consistent in the long haul. Sammy hasn't given us a large enough data set to see if he is consistent in the long haul, and maybe this year we'll get to see that. You know, if he keeps performing well, maybe Laviolette will keep putting him in the net. I also think Vitek had some of the harder matchups.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going to play the Cupcakes in the East. And, I mean, the Kings are a much better team than they have been. But, you know, the Ducks are far superior to the Kings, at least at this. And the Sharks are, I think they're doing all right as well. But out of the first three games, Vitek had the hardest game. And I know I just sound like I'm sticking up for him here, but... I mean, Samsonov, he's been doing great. And, you know, if he's going to be – I like VTech better. But if Samsonov's going to perform better, well, then I think that's who should be in. I think it'd be silly for me to want VTech if he's not going to give the Caps the best position to win.
I think that – I mean, you hit the nail on the head, man. Let's look at it this objectively. And Samsonov's played very well. Don't get us wrong. But he's also had all the cupcake matchups. He's been getting the easier starts, and LA and San Jose are two great examples. You know, with LA, it was a good game, but it was a low shot affair, and the boys were blocking shots in front of him. And it's LA, you know, VTech gets the Ducks and drops it in overtime, but it happens, you know, it's a West Coast road trip. So if tomorrow we play Tampa Bay or wherever, who would you suspect be in that? Who would you pick if you were coach? A big matchup with implications. If that was right now.
Well, I think I'd have to go with Samsonov just to see how he performs in the big matchup.
Really? So you would go with Sammy. If playoffs started today, you'd go with Sammy.
No, if playoffs started today, I'd go with VTech.
Okay.
But that's what I was going for. still this point in the season, I think VTech's or Samsonov needs to get in some of those tougher matchups to prove whether he's, you know, really in it or if he just is getting the lucky draw on teams.
I hear you. All right. And I think I'm in the same boat, man. I still think VTech's our guy. And I'm not going to apologize for it, to be completely honest. I think VTech is just a little bit more sturdy. I don't know if he's going to make that Tim Beller save. And, dude, Samsonov has, like, this weird Hasek-esque type style. He's flipping and flopping around. He looks out of position a lot. My number one criticism of him when he first came into the Caps was that he had too much happy feet. Like, he never seemed to be, like, fully set for the puck. And maybe that's what he likes, and maybe his, like, largeness, because, I mean, he's a real tall guy. Maybe that's what he relies on, but I feel like that's going to get eaten up against a team who knows where to shoot and who's going to set up the right shot for him. So, who knows? Along with that, though, it is a lot of unpredictability on the shooter's part. With Samsonov in net versus VTech. I mean, I think that there's a book out on both of them at this point. I think that VTech is probably easier to dissect for a video coach, but I think that Samsonov, while he has some technical flaws, I think he's a little harder to predict as, like, is he going to get that 10 bell save? He might, and that could be a game breaker. It's tough. Do you go with a guy who's going to make the flashy save, or are you going to go with a guy who is going to give you a chance to win a night in and night out? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, long haul, I favor a VTech style more. But, you know, maybe Sammy is more consistent than we think he is. We just have to see him put it into action.
Right. So, it's a good problem to have. I'll say that for the Caps.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to... got a good, healthy goaltending competition and a battle. But I think the jury's still out. And if you're on any, like, given side and fervent about it, I think that you're wrong. I don't think that anything is set in stone yet. So, anyways, San Jose, Osh Babe returns, gets an apple right off the bat. Love it. Shiri and Ovi get the first goals. Love to see it. Love the... I mean, again, here's our depth. Big guns firing, and the depth is supporting here. It's 2-0 after the first, and the Caps really never looked back. Second period had the Sharks did charge back a bit. How about that hurdle play coming off the left boards there? Just the forehand, backhand, C-bar. It always amazes me when a player can basically shoot a backhand while facing the intended target. Instead of being, like, to the side or away.
Yeah, it's like they're doing it on purpose instead of that's their own. Like, for us, backhand is, like, your only option. But for them, he's firing that backhand shot as if he was sniping forehand.
Yeah, purely to get the better angle. Like, because the shot that Hurdle put off, that was the only way he could have done it. The only way he would have been able to beat, as a left-handed shooter, glove side on Samsonov, would be to take it backhand and then roof it. And he did it with such velocity that it was probably like my slap shot.
Yeah, probably harder than either one of us, honestly.
Oh, easy, Paulie. Come on. I mean, I got a clapper on me. You know I can let it go.
Hey, I put some self-degradation in there.
So I think the Caps got pretty lucky coming out of the second with the shutout intact. And then I made it to 10 minutes into the third. And next thing I know, it's the Roku screen. Me waking up at like 3 in the morning. Did you watch the end?
No, I ended up catching the highlights for the third as well. Yeah, it was Betty by time.
Yeah.
But I mean, Ovi and Shiri each grabbing two.
Ovi had an empty netter, is that right? And then Shiri had another one.
Yeah, so you know, I know I'd said this before, I really hope Ovechkin is able to break the record with less empty netters than Wayne Gretzky, just to kind of take that possible detraction out of the argument, while it really doesn't matter to me, because you look at the way Ovi's scoring empty netters and he's like rifling it from the other end with like half a second to make the decision and the move. So
right. It's
not like he's just tapping it in and no one's in his way. Like, his empty netters are still taking skill.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, a little torn when he scores these, because I want him to not have more than Gretzky, at least until he breaks the record, because that's just another record he could have, the most empty net goals in history. But, I definitely want him to score more when there's a goalie in net, because that'll shut down the detractors that are bound to come out, you know. Yeah, he had, you know, say he breaks the record by 3 goals. Yeah, he broke the record, but it took him 10 more empty netters than Gretzky. So, you know, did he really beat the record? You know, there will be idiots that say that.
Right, of course. All right, well, and I agree. I mean, I don't care how he does it. Give him the empty netters. Fuck it. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, power play goals, and he only shot from one place. And, I mean, the people who say he only sits there and shoots from one place are so fucking stupid. Like, at this point, that argument should be gone. Because, just like you, fucking beer-farting, mouth-breathing shitbag who's just in there fucking dripping pizza grease all over your beer belly, you know that, so I'm sure that everybody else in the NHL who makes millions of dollars to know that knows that, and it still happens. So it's the fact is that it happens and no one can stop it. No one has been able to stop it. So, you know, I mean, that's a benchmark or of apex skill to me. But you know, and I mean, empty netters, give them all of them. I don't care if the rest of them are empty now. Just make him break the record. Just break the record. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather that than him not break the record, for sure.
Right.
You know, and just two counter-arguments to what people could say there. When it comes to empty netters, look at how many people miss when they're shooting empty netters. So there's the first counter-argument. And when it comes to power play goals, you know, he's got 14 goals this season, and that was just his first power play goal.
Right.
So less than 10% of his goals have been on the power play. So obviously that's not all he does.
Yeah, and Caps fans, the Caps are leading the league in 5-on-5 goals. This is something that has not happened in a long time for the Caps. I mean, to lead 5-on-5 goals in the, I mean, that's it means you're playing good hockey the majority of the time. And I like it. The Caps look really good right now. Of course, it's a very long season. We could be just, you know, we could watch them drop 10, but that's not generally the case. I mean, you know, Cap says we're just spoiled right now. We're being very spoiled to see this at this stage of Ovechkin's career. I mean, Ovi must have heard John Scott talking shit and all these others haters. Yeah. Because he is just out there on fire. And not only that, the whole team's supporting. You know, look at our young guns. Looking really good. Way better than I thought that they would. Is it? And who knows if we can sustain this. If we can sustain this, I think the Caps look like a really good, like a really strong Stanley Cup contender. And I think that maybe the injection of these young guys is you know, a large part of it. But as we're dissecting this last week, this is an amazing away West Coast trip. You know, this is where, this is the one thing that's on everybody's calendar, I'm sure, in the locker room, and saying like, ah, shit, we got to go all the way. We, you know, we got to be away from home for a week and a half, 2 weeks. We got to go through some, you know, a lot of travel, buses, hotels, you know, and playing games and then two back-to-backers. I mean, that's rough. The Caps have looked really good thus far. So enjoy it while it lasts. Let's hope that we can keep this momentum going through the middle season stretch and then finally down the stretch to the playoffs. As far as last week predictions go, I had Ovi at 4 goals. He scored 2. Pauly had him at 3. He's going to score 2 tonight, so I'm going to win that one. And I also had the team record at 2-1-1. I also win that because, Paula, you had 3-1. So I'm just winning.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get this week.
You're just going to take that? All right. Fine. Fair enough. Next week, though, we'll be covering the Seattle game that's happening late tonight. And Montreal on the 24th at home. Florida at home the 26th. That's going to be a big test because Florida's doing really well. They're actually above us right now on the power rankings, if you pay attention to that dumb shit. And Carolina at Carolina, 1 p.m. matinee. Dude.
Florida's Black Friday at 5 p.m., so... You know, yeah. You can watch that game and still have your whole evening.
That's true.
That's not really a matinee, though, so that's good.
Yeah, you can go out and throat punch some people for PS5.
Yeah, or right. Xbox.
Crazy. I need a projector for the office, so I think that I would kill someone for a projector with my bare hands if it was like $20.
You would at least slew foot them.
All right, so next week, goal predictions. I'm going 3, man. I think Ovi nets 3.
I'm going with 2.
All right, and then my Montreal, Florida, and Carolina. Reality might hit us hard, Caps fans. I'm going to be honest. I think. You got 2-1, Pauly. Fuck you. I'm going 3-0.
Oh, all right.
We're going perfect. Caps are going to be perfect. We're going to kill Montreal. We're going to show Florida who's daddy. And then we're going to take that right into Carolina. Now, there's a day of rest in between each of these games. I think that the Caps are going to be able to break through. Who cares if it's a matinee? We're going to win it.
I hope you're right.
I hope so, too. All right, so next week, or I mean on Thursday, I always say next week, I don't know why. On Thursday, we're going to be talking about this whole Rick Bonus drama. I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but we'll go into it and about what kind of dick moves this guy's pulling out in Dallas. And Pauly, you've got an NCAA update, is that right?
Yeah, there were a couple upsets this past weekend, so going to talk about those. And if you are one of our live stream viewers, we're going to go back on right after this, as we always do. So you could always watch the Caps game on mute and listen to the Thursday episode following this.
I don't recommend it, but hey, if you want to.
Yeah. You know, you can listen to us, and then once we're done, watch the rest of the game listening to Joe B and Locker.
Well, I'll say this. The Hockey Chill Hip Check is always way better than the Snack Time with Callie Cupcakes, and it happens first, so.
Wow.
Just kidding. That's a joke. I'm totally joking. Actually, Paulie's very prepared for his. I'm not prepared at all. So, in about 10-15 minutes, we'll be back up live streaming. But if you don't catch that, catch us on Thursday. And again, thanks a lot for tuning in. Until Thursday, Caps fans. High Control, Paulie Cupcakes, signing off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Paulie Cupcakes, at Cupcake Paulie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at Hockey Podnet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.